Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You know what? It is awesome to be back. It is actually awesome to be anywhere, and that's a pretty loaded statement. You've tuned into Set for Success with your host, me, Richard Lannon, the one and only, and we're going to continue our journey to help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, or life, and we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time. Well, today, two people. So we can uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve, and you do deserve some success. I love quotes. Anybody knows me, I'm always looking for a good Set for Success quote. And you know, this time I've got a few things for you. And this one here comes from a very interesting source. Doctors know needles hurt. They give shots nevertheless. Why? Because they know that a little bit of discomfort up front can lead to a miracle down the road. And that was from Don Connolly. So Don Connolly is a motivational financial speaker, if you don't know who he is. Financial security and independence are like three-legged to a stool, resting on savings, insurance, and investments. Now that is from Brian Tracy. Both Don and Brian were brilliant minds of their times, and they were future thinkers. So that begs a question. Future thinking does beg a question. One that I'm chatting about with a financial advisor the other day, and I do have these conversations, and how many of you wonder how and when you should be able to retire? You ever think about that one? I know this is a question part of my family life right now, and maybe also yours. Affording and retirement, an interesting, noble endeavor, if you think about it. But what does it look like for you, and can you do it? I know my wife and I have a slightly different view of a retirement world. She would like to travel the world, stay in resorts, live in all sorts of high luxury type places. Me, myself, I'm a bit more of a backpack guy. Hostels and basically Airbnb and being part of the community. I like to entrench myself in where I visit. I like to sort of offbeat, off the road, you know, not on the beaten path, so to speak. We chat about things like these, about things like downsizing, or what about all our toys that we've actually accumulated? You know, they just cost us money anyway, so why don't we just get rid of them? Hey, here's one for you. Should you rent or should you own as you get older? I don't know. My favorite discussion last week was with a young investment strategist was around, you know, what do you do with your money? How do you get your money out of your investments? Which led to a question about dying with $1 in the bank. Could you imagine actually passing away with only $1 in the bank? Is that something you should do? Is that something you want to do? I know I'm full of questions today and you're getting lots of them from me. And hopefully my returning guests can shed some light on these questions and many, many more. I'm pleased to have Tom Aldridge and Kevin Rouse in this installment of Set for Success. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Hey, hi, Richard. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Kevin, come on
Thanks, Richard, for having us again.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin, you know what? I stumbled on your last name. Did I get it right?
You've got it right every time you've said it.
Really? See, I always think for some reason I get your name wrong. I don't know why it is.
Oh, we're naturally bad spellers. There should be an E at the end of Rouse.
Oh, really? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Can I put an E back there?
Just you to help sure me could.
You know, this is a common question I always ask is you know, let's talk a little about you guys. Let's connect with the audience a little bit. Who is Tom and Kevin?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Richard. It's Tom again. We spent the last 15 years in the investment planning, investment advice business.
Yeah.
And so Kevin and I have started a financial planning or financial planning strategy practice at Investors Group over the last 8 years. You know, we've had some great conversations with you as well as a number of other clients. So this is something that we've, you know, we've taken quite an interest in, and it is a growing market for those looking to get into this industry.
Oh, there you go. Always pitching for resources.
Well, yeah. You know, I've seen stat after stat, and you know, statistics are interesting when where they do come from. But $270 million per day in assets will be transferred over the next 10 years from one generation to the next. And so there's a lot going on.
That's a lot of money in our country. Kevin, how did you get into this whole profession?
Well, first off, Richard, I just wanted to say that unlike the needle example you gave earlier, our job's to make sure that retirement doesn't actually hurt.
Oh,
I was waiting for that
okay.
Through that monologue
Yeah, I know, but you know what? I was looking it up and I was thinking, well, but it's about prevention, right?
Fair enough. I started off in the business at about 2 years ago. I've been investing for about I'd say off and on for 10 years, maybe even more than that. And I joined with Tom around January 1st, 2017.
Yeah, and you guys have gotten into a whole bunch of interesting things. Now, previous shows, I was racking my brain. I mean, this is your fourth time on the show. Fifth time? No, let's say fourth. I don't know. I was trying to think about some of the shows that we did, Tom. I mean, I know the first one was probably just general investing, right?
I think we started off with just investments themselves and a little bit of discussion, which is a pretty wide-ranging topic.
Yeah.
I think over the last couple of shows, we've mainly been focusing always going back to those six disciplines of a financially fit life.
Yeah.
And we talked about retirement and insurance, cash management, and that includes debt. We talked about like estate planning, investments and taxation. So those six disciplines is where we've always sort of in and out and in and out.
But I think we've played with them at different times in your life, because it's very different if you're it would be great if you started investing at 15, but I mean, if you start at 20 versus you're 55 or you're 75 and you're dealing with your portfolio.
Yeah, yeah. And it depends on the context of the conversation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Kevin likes to talk about tax planning and family planning.
Yeah.
I like talking about income, strategies for retirees. So combining those two, there's two different sets of advice that's going to come along.
Two different, yeah. But that probably is what helps you guys out in terms of your perspective, wouldn't you say, Kevin?
Well, exactly. There's two sides to every coin, and you have to look at it because people play on their emotions, and we also have to play on the numbers over here.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about is I know we did a show one time about family, a blended family, that actually created some complications too when you got into investment planning and thinking about your estate.
Yeah, that one would come into the estate planning, right?
Yeah.
And so we a lot of times, someone who is well established, you know, they've maybe their children have left the roost, so to say, and like you said, you've accumulated a lot of toys, and maybe you've decided that your relationship isn't going to continue on. So blended families, you decide, hey, I don't really need, a will or an estate plan, but you know, at the end of the day, now you've got a blended family. You've got two different spouses to take care of.
Two different kids.
Two different children. And then even on top of that, grandchildren. So, you know, there's this weird word that we've come across many times called disinheritance. So disinheritance.
So which one of you want to define that for me? Kevin, you want to give it a shot? I want to make sure you're inclusive.
Disinheritance.
We're an inclusive show.
Disinheritance is a swear word to what we also call waiters. And we learned this term just the other day, but a waiter is someone who is waiting for that inheritance to retire. That is their retirement plan. Disinheritance is probably their worst nightmare.
Oh, because you're left out of
you are left out of the will.
You're left out of the will. Yeah, that would not be cool.
Yeah, like for example, right? Okay, so just Bob and Sue Smith, they've been married for 35 years, and Bob and Sue, have two children, and Bob and Sue split up after 35 years of marriage, and then Sue decides to go and marry someone new, or
marries Jack.
Sure. Yeah. And so the challenge that you have there is that when you remarry somebody, a lot of times wills are null and void.
Yeah.
So you're required, or you should go and write a new will. But the real challenge is that if that isn't done, assets could be transferred to, say, Sue's children or Sue's new children from Jack, rather than Sue's original children that she had originally with Bob.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, but I do want to have this whole conversation around retirement, because we had connected online and we said, well, why don't we talk about retirement this time? This is Richard Lamprosette for Success, and we'll be right back. Everyone, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Tom and Kevin. These guys are basically investment strategists, investment experts. When I asked you guys to come on the show, we were hanging out, I don't know if it was LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever, one of the messaging systems. I said, well, why don't we talk about retirement? Because I'd like to talk about that a little bit. And so I guess maybe what we'll do, and you tell me if this is a good spot to start, is should we just define what retirement is? Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, that's a really great place to start. I mean, I think the challenge that you have with a lot of people is that what does retirement look like?
And yeah, what is it?
So I mean, if you look at sort of some of the history behind retirement, and maybe some of the designs of some of the social systems and social programs that were put in place. So let's take, for example, something like, say, CPP.
Yeah, CPP.
CPP was it was set up that you would receive it at age 65. That was an absolute. It's become more flexible. And typically, you only took CPP for just a few years because the longevity or the age that you were expected to live didn't really last that long. Maybe into the early 70s if you were lucky, or if you didn't have, say, heart conditions in your family. Now, things have changed dramatically. in the last number of years. The longevity of us as humans has gone from,
especially in the Western world, right?
Mid-70s. And we see clients more than a weekly occasion that they have parents who are living into their 90s, early 90s.
96, my dad.
Yeah. Yep. So we talk about the word retirement. We talk about retiring, maybe a retirement from what? So is it a retirement from a major commitment in your life, a retirement from a major career, something that you've spent a lot of time at? That doesn't mean that you're just flopping down on the couch or maybe flopping a sand wedge onto a green. I mean, we're talking about retiring from something you've done for a long time. So what does retirement look like? That's a big
question. Yeah. Kevin, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think retirement is not just a change of your daily structure, but it's also a change of your mindset. You're no longer... You have come into this time in your life where you now have to, stop having this cash flow that's coming in all the time from your work. And people struggle with that. I would say most people we talk to, it's not always the numbers that they can retire. It's the fact that they don't know how that's going to feel to them.
It's interesting you mentioned about cash flow. You guys both know I'm a big motorcycle guy, right? And so I sometimes jump on my bike and end of the day and I'll just go somewhere. So I was out in Neverville this week and I stopped in a little cafe and the cafe had closed down, right? However, there was a couple in there that had opened up a new cafe restaurant in the space. It wasn't quite open yet. I just happened to be there, only person there. So they invited me in for coffee. And it turns out that, they're retired. But this cafe and the building that we're in were actually part of the retirement fund, right? That's how they're going to actually finance their retirement.
So, yeah, that's something that we talk to clients a lot about is Kevin will probably give me a little bit of a jab here on this, but it's not about the money. And it's not about the investments. It's not about where it's all going to come from. It's about what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if you're considering retiring in the next 5 years, the chances of you making a significant or dramatic change to the situation are very low. It's not something that we're going to come and change for you. So at this point, you're going to have to make a decision on what you're going to do. You may have lots and lots of assets or funds or money put aside, and so maybe cash flow won't be a problem. But at the end of the day, what we have to look at is that what are you going to be doing with that money or with your time? I mean, a lot of us have committed a lot of time to our careers, and now all of a sudden there's this massive vacuum. Mm. It just gets sucked away, and now you have nothing. You may have all the money in the world, but all the time, too.
I'm curious about something, and I'm wondering if you can actually answer this. I always like to think in terms of Canadians, right? And I like to think of Canada to being a successful middle-class country. It's just the way I like to think of Canada. But I can't help but think that a lot of middle-class Canadians don't have a lot of assets. Like, they own their house, maybe, right? And they might have a pension, or they may not. Can you guys speak to that? Is that like a thing, or is that like way out there?
I'm just trying to think of the last, say, 10 clients that we brought on as clients. Varying different mindsets over their life. Some of our clients have come to us and they've paid off. Like you said, they have assets or hard assets. They either have a business that's paid off, or they have a home that's paid off and a cottage. And they may or may not have a small pension.
They may or may not have a savings.
I think for the majority of Canadians who are at that 50, 55 level, and I shouldn't say majority, but there's a significant amount that are looking for advice that we see that we would probably find that they have that need for our services. So, it'd be kind of hard for us to answer.
Okay.
Someone that doesn't have a lot of assets, meaning like hard money. But the thing is that now, if you do own assets, homes, property and whatnot, how do you get rid of them or turn them into some sort of asset?
Well, that's just it, right? Especially if you need the cash, right?
Yeah.
So what's the next question that comes out of the statement that we just made? Maybe Kevin would like to jump in. No? Whoops.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think like from what you said there that people have either, trying to manufacture that income stream in retirement is difficult. That's one of our jobs. I'm going to just flip back on the conversation just a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Because you said something
Maybe I went the wrong way.
No, yeah. You said something that really intrigues me is that you talk about the word retirement and what is retirement, but a lot of people come to us with their strategic challenges. Yeah. And strategic to us is going to be, pen to paper. How much OAS? How much CPP? How is this stuff invested? Where's your life insurance? one of the first things I like to do is I like to push that stuff aside. Yeah. And we like to coach to our clients is that let's look at the how it's going to feel. Show me a week in the life of your retirement. Show me that first week. How about in 6 months, what does that week look like? How about in a year, what does that week look like? Because again, a lot of us have identified ourselves over our working lives as workers or people that work. So for 30 years plus for a lot of people, this is what you've done on a daily basis. For that to be pulled away right away, it is dramatically different than what people expect.
Yeah.
People get lonely. People, they start to feel maybe not wanted. The other one, a big one, is spouses.
Okay.
We love our spouses, we hope, but certainly all of a sudden we're now smashed together with each other 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
top of the 6 hours that you normally would have seen each other.
It's funny you would say that because my sister and my brother-in-law, when she retired, she had the house to herself and she went off and wrote several books and everything. When he retired, and she said to me on the phone, now he's home all the time.
Yeah.
With that, we're going to take a break. This is Richard Lampert, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Kevin and Tom today, or Tom and Kevin, just depending on which way you want to do the order. We're talking about retirement. Now, is this something you want to do? Are you hoping? Maybe you're retired right now. Maybe you're looking to retire. You know, can you retire? I don't know. I think it's a huge question. And I thought, Tom, you made a really great point about, you know, well, retirement is different for everybody else. But are there like stages in people's lives when they should be looking at retiring or anything? Is there what does that whole thing look like?
Well, I'd say the first thing you have to look at, or you have to get the client to do, and I know Tom mentioned this earlier in the podcast, was that we have to map out their retirement. And for a lot of people, some people are retiring at 55, some are retiring at 60. They have to decide what those first stages of retirement are going to look like. Not a lot of people are going to want to sit at home and spend a little bit of money. They're going to want to spend a majority of their money in the first few years, and that cash flow is going to slowly start decreasing. Our job originally is to make them visualize that through a budget, I would say, and have them see, okay, how much am I spending and where is my spending going to be going through my first few years of retirement?
It's interesting you would say that because I know years ago I read something that said, well, you know, when you retire, you actually spend less money. But I don't think that's the case. You know, if I think about the things that even I want to do and go travel and stuff like this, it's like, I think it's going to be a big chunk up front and then maybe decrease because you can't do the things you want to do anymore.
Yeah. One of the first things that we'll not only request, but it's a demand at this point. It's like, and you would know this as a strategist in business, is that cash flow is king.
Yeah.
And we you know, the conversation was spurred by renting or buying in retirement and that kind of thing. But one of the things that we require is for you to do a 3-month budget and to take a look at where your money's really going. And the first thing that clients do when they come back with that budget is they say, holy smokes, I didn't realize I was spending that much. Because you know, what's happened is that you've gone through your prime earning years and those late years where you're making probably the most that you'll ever earn in your lifetime. And you're probably spending it on grandchildren, spending on, you know,
spending on motorcycles.
Things, on motorcycles and trips to Niverville.
there's a bigger trip planned in February. Anyway.
So one of the things that we have to look at is again, that cash flow and what that cash flow is going to look like. What Kevin was talking about there is, again, that first 10 years of retirement. I mean, there's a number of different medications on the market that can to turn a 60-year-old into a late 40-year-old quite quickly.
And we're counting on that.
But as a late 4-year-old, you're spending a lot of money. You're traveling to exotic destinations. You're able to walk and see the world or whatever. I mean, you're able to. And so things do start to slow down, though, at a certain point. So you have to manage that. You have to manage that cash flow.
It's interesting you would say that because I've worked with a couple of clients this year that are in succession, right? And the only reason why they work right now is so they could travel. That's it. Right, they got everything else taken care of, but they just do extra stuff so they can travel.
Yeah, and I mean, so what they've done is they've allocated it in their mind, right? They've allocated a certain amount of their money or a certain amount of their retirement money to, you know, daily living,
yeah.
and they won't touch that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the only way that they've done it, they pushed that aside and said, okay, I can't touch that, so if I want to do the things I want to do, I'm going to have to create this other pile of money or this other asset or this other bag of money so that I can use that to spend on retirement. It's quite common that people will allocate in their minds how the buckets of money and where they're going to be pulling their retirement income from.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, one thing I think about and what Tom and I do on, you know, maybe the second or the third appointment is we take that cash flow and we take that budget that they showed us and we just put it as a base case into their financial plan. And it scares the hell,
heck
can
out,
I say?
Heck
the heck out of people? It scares the heck out of people. And that is just...
The bejeevers is another good one.
What's that, sorry?
The bejeevers.
The bejeevers. It scares the bejeevers out of people. Yeah. And our job is to show them that this is you spending $8,000 a month in retirement. Let's try and get an 80-year-old woman to spend $8,000 at that time in her life.
No.
And we eventually start making changes to the plan and we start showing them, you know, how what they want to do in retirement, how it actually benefits them and their cash flow.
Yeah, so that's a lot of, that makes a lot of sense to me. But I'm a numbers guy, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and we've talked about this in previous episodes as well, where there's the three stages, you know, 0 to 30, 30 to 60, 60 to 90, 60 to 90 is those retirement years. Then we divide those years into that 30 years into, say, 10-year bunches.
Okay.
And so the first 10 years of retirement, here's what we expect. We're probably going to be spending 100% of what you're spending right now, if not maybe even a little bit more. So
of your income, 100% of your income.
100% of your income. And then we're going to look at things like let's take a 20%. So let's take 20% off of that current spend to see what it looks like as far as how the longevity of your income. But, you know, again, back to what we were talking about before, and I know Kevin likes to draw himself away from, or draw me away from the touchy-feely part and the numbers, and, you know, Richard, you've been a numbers guy all your life. I really, really need to focus on our clients and pull them away from that from time to time, but we really need to focus on what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, and what drives you.
And can you afford it, right?
Yeah, and maybe it's not so much as afforded, is because as I said before, you've gotten to this point, so we're probably not going to change, you know, that much. But what we do need to say to ourselves is that, okay, so you're short. Okay, so the worst case scenario is you're short of your financial goals. So what's that going to be? So do you toil for another 3 years at that job that you hate right now?
Or
do you say take off and you decide that, you know, and for the example, I'm going to drive a bus part-time. I'm going to drive for 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. Or I'm going to work at, you know, my favorite, as you said, coffee shop. And we see it all the time. Now, there was always this adage, do you want to be that person working at that shop? I'm a little bit of the opinion that maybe those people need to be at that coffee shop working, not because they need the income, but they need it because they need a sense of purpose.
Well, that's the other side of that coin, right? I mean, if we use the coffee shop one as the example, you're serving customers, you get to know the regulars, you create some relationships, you know what they drink, and they come in the door. If you're really good, I mean, you know, and you just have it ready for them.
There's reams of evidence that talks about, you know, that people that retire without any, you know, mindful
social
activities.
Yeah.
And social
connection.
Activities can be unhealthy very quickly.
Yeah.
So,
and I can imagine that the other one is different life choices, right? I started off in my monologue saying, well, you know, if you have two vehicles, do you need two? Do you need the house that you're in, or can you actually downsize? So there are other options, though, aren't there?
Yeah.
Kevin?
I just see Tom ready to speak, and I don't want to interrupt
him. I sort of signaled Kevin to come in here. I know you're all listening in and everything like this, but I signal these guys back and forth to actually get them engaged.
I had my eyes on the prize. I'm going to forget what your question was.
I already forgot it, too.
I can remind you guys. We were talking about renting versus buying. Should I keep this house? Should I downsize?
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of thing. You know, I'll grab Kevin to finish my sentence on this one. But one of the things, as we go back to cash flow, is that we need to insert those type of scenarios.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about this sitting around the coffee shop and people are, quote unquote, talking about this all the time. But let's show you some proof. You being the numbers guy.
Numbers don't lie.
So why don't you sit down with somebody, and I'm not saying it's us. There are lots of qualified, awesome planners in this city and across the country that'd be more than willing to say, sure, let's run some scenarios. And I mean, and that's Kevin's, you know, high quality.
What are some of the scenarios that are sometimes run? Can you give us an example?
Just one off the top of my head from where Tom was going there is definitely renting versus buying. A lot of people, when they're retired,
do?
Say, can you even get a mortgage?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is, well, yes, it's probably going to be more difficult to get a mortgage, but they are going to go off of your T4. They are going to go off of your credit score. And it's ways like this that we can coach people into what are they going to do in retirement.
No, okay. I don't know if that answers the rent versus buy owning though question.
Yeah, that one again, right? We have to start with cash flow. So back to just use this like a business, right? Should I buy my own building or should I be leasing it?
Oh yeah, it's the same question about a car. Should I buy a car? Should I lease a car?
Sure. Yeah. So and then again, what's deep down inside? Do you derive the quality of life or derive that sense of satisfaction of being able to say, oh, I finished painting the garage again? At some point, I gave my dad as an example. He's 69 years old, and I've heard him say more than once, I'm tired of raking the leaves.
There you go. And so why are you living there?
Right. Yeah. And so I've said to him on many occasions, why don't we look at hiring or going to a condominium type complex? Lots of great questions, Richard. Lots of great questions.
We got to take a short break, guys. Always awesome to be talking to you guys. It's hard to believe that we're about to move into our final segment, but this is Richard for Set for Success, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Tom and Kevin. They're both financial strategists, experts in their field. I don't mind saying so. I've gotten to know you guys a bit over the last year, 2 years. Interesting. We were talking a little bit about life stories, and we were talking a little bit about downsizing and retirement or raking the leaves, et cetera. And I'm going to get you making a point on this. But I was out at a networking event last night, and I met this guy, young guy. He talked about his mother-in-law. So I got to tell you guys a story. And his father-in-law, I guess, yeah, on his wife's side. So she is 70 years of age, still works, right? Lives in Selkirk, bikes all year long downtown Winnipeg. And when she parks her bike and ties it up, she runs another 5K, right? Does it regularly. Husband owns the car. She got rid of her vehicle and everything along this lines and does it as a lifestyle choice, right? And more than happy to do it and plans on doing that as long as she can do it. Like, and that's a choice, right?
Yeah, and maybe, and that's, again, back to that ending comment, is this is what she's decided she likes to do. She doesn't have to. She wants to.
Yeah.
Big difference there.
Big difference there. I know that one of you brought up the idea of raking leaves and maybe not wanting to rake leaves anymore. And I think, Kevin, you had a few points on that one.
Well, there's a lot of decisions when you go into retirement or even just in your normal life that eventually you decide you don't want to do anymore. We see a lot of reasons where you're paying your credit cards and you could consolidate them all into a mortgage. But the idea of actually having a mortgage on your house again is deafening, and they can't get past the fact, even though the numbers say it will be a better
option
for you.
You'll save money.
Exactly.
Less interest, right? Yeah.
But it's at that situation, it's more of a personal thing.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get people over that hump.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really, when it comes down to, and I know I'm keeping this show more focused on the concept of retirement, but it's really a lot of emotion when it goes into it. Is it more emotion than... What's the opposite of emotion? Non-emotion, in other words, the sort of pragmatic, logical, rational, financial side.
Yeah, I think you have to have both. I mean, it really has to be a balancing act between that rational side where you have to look at the numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have to keep the lights on, in our lives. But at the end of the day, there is going to be limitations. Your body is not going to be able to work anymore, or your mind. You just may be tired of working. And
it's interesting you would say that, because when I first met, when we moved back from another part of Canada, Winnipeg, Calgary, I met the bank manager and he asked me what I did. And I told him what I did, and he says, oh, great, as long as your mind stays intact, you can always make money. This is what the bank manager said to me. And I looked at him and I thought that was such an interesting statement, right? But then I sort of thought about it and I went, as opposed to somebody who does laboring, right? Your body physically just wears out over time.
Yeah, and like I said, the main focus shouldn't be so much the specific numbers. Yes, that's very, very important, and it's got to be something that's got to be considered. But back to, the way that we approach this is it has to be something that has to be thought out about you and your spouse, right? It can't just be a one-sided decision as well.
That's where I snap my fingers. Yeah. Oh, shucks. maybe, Kevin, you can answer this. Maybe both of you. Is there certain trends right now in retirement that we're seeing for Canadians? What are maybe some of the trends?
I would say the number one that Tom and I see right now is people retiring, quote unquote, but going back to work as a job that's not a 9-to-5. It's not that they don't want to work. They do want to work.
Yeah.
Most people enjoy work. I don't know if people are cringing when I say that.
No. You know what? But sometimes it's about meaningful work. Like I'm old enough now to look at it and say, well, if I had to go back to something that was a sucky thing that I really did not like, and hopefully it's okay to say that word, or could I go do something meaningful or something that's less stressful? Like, I have lots of friends that are a few years older than I am, 5 to 10, and they've left what they're doing, but they've done, gone to that coffee shop. They've gone to that working at that furniture store
or they're
whatever
consulting.
It is, where, you know, or they're consulting, but they're picking things that they do not have the same level of stress when they were in like in a management position or something.
Yeah, and, that's, you know, I agree with Kevin. That's a big, big trend right now is people that, and there's another trend too where there's one spouse that may continue to work only as a sort of a, that just one toe in the pool. They haven't completely jumped in, and even though we've run the numbers and even though we've gone through multiple different options on how they can, you know, retire comfortably, there's just still that they just don't want to let go of that consistent income stream. Now, not to say that your income stream in retirement can be inconsistent. It can be
very
in fact very consistent as long as it's managed correctly. But, you know, there is that trend. And so you got either two trends we see. One is the people that are leaving their regular quote unquote job, and they're going to, as you said, choose something they'd like to do rather than they have to. And then the other one is sort of that longer retirement by one spouse. So one's delaying the retirement by maybe a few years.
Yeah.
And one of the things that happens is we can show a much higher success rate by, you know, and I'm going to get technical here, but by delaying drawdown. And so what we're saying is we're leaving that bag of money for a little bit longer and not drawing down on its original capital. And that shows a lot, actually adds a little bit of a cushion on the success rate of being able to have enough money throughout retirement.
Yeah, throughout retirement. You know, this is interesting, and I already think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it because I bet you people ask it to you all the time. How much money do I need to retire?
$1.3
million. There's actually an answer for that?
No, there's not an answer for that.
Oh, scratch that. One point.
my answer to that would be how much do you want to spend?
How much do you want to spend? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But is that a question that you get on a regular basis?
Not, I would say, in the office.
Yeah.
But you do get that question quite a bit.
Yeah. It's again, based on everything you told me, I mean, I would take it that it's probably either A, depending on where you're at, or B, a personal preference.
Yeah,
maybe somewhere in between those.
Yeah, I mean,
trying to be very careful with what I said.
Yeah, I've read the articles on a 3% drawdown. This is how much you should probably have. Yeah. But again, it depends on how much do you want to leave. Do you want to leave anything to children or grandchildren or maybe your favorite charity or a church? I don't know that. So we stay away from that answer. And then when someone asks that question, we say, that's an interesting question. Let's take a look at what would it cost.
What does you want to do?
What would you want to do, right?
I guess then with that statement there, Tom, and I think, Kevin, you and I have talked about this around state planning. I had the privilege of having coffee with you, and it was sort of the idea of, well, you know, dying with a dollar in your pocket, so to speak, right?
Because the ultimate financial plan.
The ultimate financial plan, right? And that's what you said to me. And I went, oh, you know, and I hadn't really thought about it. Like, I honestly hadn't thought about it to that degree. But then I thought that was quite an interesting statement to make.
At the end of the day, we see too many people that are pinching pennies to survive because they want to leave an estate. At the end of the day, $25,000 divided by your four children isn't going to make their lives that much better.
No. Won't even buy them a car.
Yeah.
And maybe get a trip, and depends on how the taxes all work and everything too.
That's also one of my more favorite parts of this business is talking about some of those additional estate planning opportunities that are out there. Again, you know, that dying with a dollar can be taken the wrong way.
Meaning, totally. Yeah, I mean, I probably just insulted a few people, and I do apologize if I just did, but it's a premise or an idea for retirement and estate planning.
Yeah, and future planning is what
future
you really
planning,
want to
yeah,
look at.
Yeah.
It's just future planning. I mean, you want to make sure that it's structured correctly. And even if you have very little or next to no assets, it still takes a careful planning on a professional's behalf to make sure that it's done correctly, because it can be done incorrectly and it can go sideways and cause a ton of problems.
Yeah, a lot of problems. What a show we've been having, guys. You're always great to have. Two questions I need to get answered here. First of all, if you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
Hire a financial planner.
Awesome. Kevin, what's yours?
Oh, my goodness. I like that last one I said. You know, you will not, the penny pinching for your retirement.
It won't work for you.
Somebody
want to get in contact with you, how do they go about doing it?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is you can find us on the Investors Group website, and so you look up either Tom Aldridge or Kevin Rouse, or you can find us at tomaldridge.ca.
And yeah, the best place to do it. Awesome. What a show we've been having. I always enjoy both of you on as guests, and so thank you for actually showing up and hanging out with me right now. And for our listeners, you know what? You know how it works. If you have a thought, a question, or idea, just send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. Let me try that again, richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.